Good morning. Happy Monday. Joining us this morning, because it's great to be here, Mr. John Dalby.
It is great to be here. Good morning. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Good to see you again.
Yeah. He took away my golden microphone.
Well, we thought that the spit-free thing was probably a little bit better.
Talking about a big foam thing they put on the microphone.
Yes,
it's still
exactly.
the old microphone.
Oh, yeah. No, it's purely lipstick. Oh, well, since you left, we've got a new book. We've kind of used up the other one.
By Webb Garrison.
Why do we say it? Are you ready?
Yep.
Bottom dollar. Why do we say bottom dollar?
Why do we say bottom? Okay, I can only speculate because I don't know the answer to this. But it has to do with net profitability at the bottom of the income statement.
Nah.
Okay.
Novels and television dramas, to the contrary, metallic dollars were never abundant in this country. During the first 80 years of U.S. coinage, only 8 million silver dollars were struck. Less than 19 million gold pieces were ever produced. Most wealth was in the term of raw materials rather than coins of the realm. Even fur traders and buffalo hunters who swarmed in and out of St. Louis had comparatively few dollars from the mint. There's just a button that you get to push if you're right. It just got taken off the counter.
I have admitted I am wrong.
Yeah. A typical hoard might include only a dozen or so dollars. Such a stack of coins never reached very high, and it didn't take skill or intelligence to know when a person came to the bottom. Because the bottom dollar was a signal to get back at a man's traps and guns, it came to symbolize the end of one's resources.
Okay.
So it really was a dollar.
So what always has its bottom on top?
What always has its bottom on top? A diving duck.
Your leg.
Okay.
Okay. So my granddaughter told me that one.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Good.
She got me also. I didn't.
Beat by a single digit.
There you go. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for folks that may not be familiar with your travels and trials over the last few months, where you been?
Earlier this year, I was diagnosed with leukemia, so I've been through a lot of treatment, starting with outpatient here, and then I ended up at Stanford Medical Center for 52 days. And now I'm back. Working mornings and working my way back up to full time. I still have some treatments in front of me, but they seem to be more manageable, and I'm feeling much better. So,
are you still driving at high speeds through town?
No, I never drove at high speeds through town.
Oh, good. The mental acuity is still there, then.
Yeah. to all my friends of the EPD, I don't drive fast through town.
Any lessons learned? To share with others.
You know, when you're having symptoms, because I had symptoms that I didn't understand and it didn't relate to, you know, what I ended up getting. And the signs were there much earlier than we identified my leukemia, you know, other symptoms and so forth. So, you know, the thing I would say is spend the time with your doctor if you're having unusual symptoms, even if some of them are embarrassing.
just different.
Yes. Your body's going to change and so forth, but spend that time. If there's something different happening, you know, dig down. Find out if there's more to the story than just you're getting old.
More than just. I like that little phrase that was thrown in there. Yeah. So the folks at Stanford treated you pretty straight?
I have great in fact, the challenge is I have seven doctors now, so trying to keep them all happy is a challenge.
It's a lot of birthday cards.
Yeah. So, but, you know, the people here you know, in the cancer center. I know them very well, and they've been great to me. And they've been, you know, they're just great to everybody. It's a wonderful group of people. You know, we need more. As you know, staffing is a challenge pretty much around the world, and that includes, you know, the nurses and doctors, you know, not only at our institution, but all of them. So I have nothing but great things to say about them. And, you know, Stanford was, you know, it was a different level of care, obviously, but then they have a different level of donations.
Yeah.
And it's a teaching hospital. So, what was interesting is a lot of times I would go through a procedure and somebody's doing it for the first time.
Their enthusiasm might be there, but a little hesitation
But they have somebody looking over their shoulder, making sure they're doing it correctly, and they can step in if they need to. But
so when they rip the little suction cups off, they're not supposed to laugh and smile quite as much as they were doing? Is that kind of the clue there?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I got to know the people at Stanford very well, and they're great people. And
well, hopefully you'll be able to go down there in 10 years and say, hi, guys, remember me? And they'll still be there, and they'll still be just as enthusiastic.
Yeah, I'm going back in 2 weeks, so.
Oh, well, okay. Just a touch in, or are you going down for a period, and then you?
No, the last step is I've got some testing they need to do to see how my last chemo regime did, and then the next step is a bone marrow transplant. So I'll be going down and talking to the transplant team.
Do you know the registry program that NIL?
Oh, absolutely.
Put in place. Is that still up and running?
Yes, it is. And in fact, that's a great story. Is Niall Henderson, and I got to be careful, he's passed, of course, and he's one of my heroes. And I'm trying to think of what I can say because he was a customer, so I got to be careful here. But his son had leukemia.
Yeah, Steve, yeah.
And his daughter was a match for being a donor. So he had a donor, but a lot of people didn't. And it looks like we're out of time, so I'll tell the rest of the story.
The Flying Duck came in, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back.
Yep.
All right. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby.
Good to be here.
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the project Share Life and the effort that Niall Henderson, most of us either probably know him as customer coach or that guy that would go around with Rotary all the time.
Yeah.
And you were talking about Steve, his son, needed some... needed some help, and that it was kind of tough to come by, and you were
he was
able to get it done. Yeah.
So Steve needed a bone marrow donor, and his sister, first place they go is the siblings, was a match. So he had a donor, but Niall, in talking to the other people in the department, so many of them were waiting for a donor, which didn't exist. And at that point in time, to find a non-related donor was about the same as getting struck by lightning. You know, the odds were very, very low. And Niall saw that as a need. So he came back and through the Southwest Eureka Rotary Club, which is the club I belong to, he started a project called Project Share Life, where we raised funds and we paid for people to go onto the donor registry. And there was about a $70 test at the time. And so we would raise money and go out and solicit people to sign up. And this thing spread through the district, through our Rotary district, and then across the country in Rotary clubs throughout the country. And because of his efforts, today the odds of finding a non-related donor are over 50%. So it was great to be a part of that.
Little old Humboldt County.
Right. Came right out of little Humboldt County with a man named Niall Henderson, whose son didn't need, had a donor.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't for his own needs. It was just seeing the needs of those who weren't getting matches. And so, you know, for instance, I'm on the donor registry, and one of my dreams was always to donate for it. I'm on the other end.
That's the end that you want to be on. Yeah, this is not a fair catch one. Yeah.
So anyway, but I think that's just wonderful that we have that legacy that came out of Humboldt County.
Now, what is the waiting period? I mean, there's the medical waiting period, but for a match, does it typically take a little bit of time now? Or is it a couple of weeks and they will find someone?
Well, if they find a match, they find a match. First they have to go in and look. So the first place for me that they're looking are my two sisters to see if they're going to be a match. And then they'll go into the registries and see if they can find a match there.
So it's still family first?
Yeah. That's the way they're approaching it.
Yeah. Well, if that's the highest likelihood, that would...
Well, interestingly enough, both my sisters want to be the donor, not because they love me, but because they want to influence me with their own likeness.
Right.
So they're both saying that you're going to be more like me. And actually, it can change your blood type and everything. I mean, it's pretty significant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's intriguing.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the more you kind of understand about it.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say on the air which sister I would prefer to be like.
Well, be positive, of course. That's what you want to end up, right? Well, we just had that medical thing, early last week. The guy that had the genetically modified pig heart. The pig that was genetically modified. So at the heart, you know, it had the surround material, which is typically where the rejection happens. Of course, there's lots of jokes that can.
Yeah.
You know, if he makes it out, you know, there's lots of jokes.
Well, yeah. I have a friend who has a pig valve.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's enough to start the jokes.
You're well versed in it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That was enough. In fact, I went to the hospital, which was quite a ways away, that he had his surgery, and I was there looking at him when he woke up one time with a little pig to hand him.
Oh,
yeah.
Not three.
Yeah.
Just one little pig?
Yeah. He just, he swined a little bit.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. 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 You know, has a craving for sauerkraut? So how long are they projecting this entire process is going to take?
Oh, I don't know. I'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Based on
But I know that it's a month down there.
Oh, okay. So
so I'll be down there if we ever get to that point, I'll be down there for a full month.
Well, hopefully there'll be a baseball season rolling so that you'll be able to at least sit back and enjoy
ignore baseball.
Well, no, I would like to think that they
I'm a non-baseball guy.
It doesn't matter. You can convert. They changed the blood type. You can convert.
Yeah.
You just have to
make
sure.
Yeah, we know it worked.
make sure you have a radio with you.
Yeah, and you'll know that it wasn't one of my sisters that was the donor. I'm not sure they could identify a baseball if you handed it to them.
Right. Yeah. Well, how about one of the big orange ones?
Yeah.
Pull for the Warriors there,
okay? There you go.
Oh, gee.
Well, I have a problem this weekend. I mean, you got the 49ers playing the Cowboys. And as a kid, I was a Cowboys fan. So what am I going to do?
Root for the Raiders. You're not a Bengal fan. You didn't grow up with a Tiger, did
you? No, I was a Raiders and a Cowboys fan because grew up in Oregon. We didn't have a team.
Sure, that would be logical that you were a Raider fan then.
That was back with Staubach and Stabler.
Right, right.
And they were I liked them both. The worst of the world and the best of the world. And I spent an hour and a half with Tom Landry, and that was a wonderful experience.
Well, that's enough to sway someone.
Yeah,
undoubtedly. Now, if you just had John Madden also.
Oh.
But you don't.
Madden was great.
You don't want to meet him in the next couple of years.
No.
give yourself a little time. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We are back talking shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, I presume that during all of the challenges, you've been able to entertain yourself by keeping abreast of some of the current things that are going on out there. You've got in town a little excitement, and then we've got the national news that came out last week about some exciting. So you want to go local first or you want to go national?
You're the host. Let's get going.
Okay. Let's talk about the inflation.
Okay.
Because I think that's probably going to be a little bit longer. For a lot of folks, and this is true with unemployment and a number of other areas, the definition has changed significantly in the last 20 to 30 years of inflation, unemployment, all these other matrix that we hear about all the time. So when you hear inflation and you see what it is, and then you go back to a 1980 comparison, concerning? Is that a fair word?
Well, you know, whoever's in power likes to change the definitions to be favorable, but regardless of that, inflation is inflation. And, you know, what you include in that the basket of goods, you know, it does need to change because our cultures change.
Sure.
Right. And so, you know, that basket of goods gets changed based on two things, politics and politics. so again, you know, the ruling class loves to change the definition of terms. In fact, it's always fun to when somebody throws something out like inflation, the term, well, how are you defining that?
Yeah, what do you mean?
It usually ends the conversation because they don't know.
Right, it's just a term that gets bandied about.
They just heard on, you know, and part of this, this was very interesting to me, is kids today read more than we did. Now, when I say we, I'm 63, so... So
yeah, okay, fine. We're in the boat.
Years ago, there were only books.
Right.
And if you read, you read books or newspapers and the magazines, and that was it. But all of those things present information. They start and provide information and come to a conclusion. Kids today...
Yeah, in more than three sentences.
Right. Kids today read, they read more than we do, that we did, but it's in little sound bites. So you don't have a logic, and so you're taking, you know, small bits of information and trying to put them together in your mind. It's going to change the way you think, and so, you know, the next generation is going to be substantially different than ours.
And source, you know, the standard, the vetting,
correct,
is significantly, my term, lacking.
And so that's why the political parties are so good at just throwing out terms. That, you know, must be true because he said it 10 times. Or 10 different people said it, so it must be true, even though it's not true.
Right. So instead of going to Fortune or Money Magazine or one of those places,
right. So
Journal. Yeah.
So with that said, you know, we were talking about inflation. The definitions of different words change. And so if you have people saying there's not inflation, well, there are people that are going to believe them. And others are saying there is inflation, so some people believe them. But fact is, inflation is pretty heavy right now. And the problem with it is it punishes those who can least afford it.
Yeah, the fixed.
Right. So yeah. my wife and I, you know, we're late in my career. You know, we don't have a lot of debt. So when she goes to fill up her car and it costs $100 where it used to cost $50 to fill up her car, you know, that's something we can afford. But there are families that will have to take that $50 and choose whether they're going to eat or put money in their tank. Those are the people that are being hurt by this thing, by inflation. And it's so unnecessary. It didn't have to happen.
We had a little discussion today before you came in about how quick can that turn around? Because it seemed rather quick to occur. A couple of keystrokes with this, and a couple signatures over there, and all of a sudden gas starts going through the roof, and we have shortages on the shelf, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If one took an eraser and undid, so we've got the petroleum, the Keystone pipeline flowing again. We've got a little bit of exploration going on. We don't have some of the compensation that's been continuing not to work. Couple of other key documents get unwound. Does it clean this thing up quickly, or is this one of those 10-year legacies before we get back to where we would have been without some of those actions?
You know, it's one of those things I could probably argue both sides of. But with that said, an interesting fact is that famine across the globe almost is exclusively caused by political means, meaning it is a political choice to starve a country, and as opposed to an issue of the lack of food or resources. Because, you know, first of all, if you're a country that's starving, other countries will help you. The problem
human,
is
human nature. Yeah.
Problem is, you give that to the government, and the government doesn't distribute it to everyone else. They let people starve. That's the reality, and that's why I say most of it is political. We have made the decision politically to raise the price of fossil fuels, you know, gasoline, diesel, etc. That is a political choice, and that can be remedied relatively quickly. And a lot of the rest of the inflation is hidden, not all of it, but I mean a big chunk, is hidden in the fuel prices.
Yeah, it's embedded in there. Yeah,
right, because the farmers are paying more to run their tractors. Moving goods and services becomes more expensive.
Yeah, well, exactly. And then all the various vendors along the way, and the hidden taxes.
Right, and the energy it takes to manufacture, et cetera,
Well, energy costs, that's a whole different dynamic.
Yeah.
But nice that you brought that one in, too.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, before you left us for a period, there was a lot of discussion about some of the utilization of parking spaces in the downtown corridor, business corridor, Old Town, a couple of different places. And there seems to be a little bit of resolution, and some of them Others are going ahead. And what's the current status? Because you guys had the one across the street. I guess it's still known kind of as the old Daly's parking lot.
Yes. So as we looked at it, there's a lot of opinions out here, and so I'm not here to argue one opinion against another. But one of them is there a parking problem or is there not a parking problem in downtown and Old Town? And there's a school of thought that, if you compare us to San Francisco, there's not a parking problem. But if you compare it to what some of our businesses need and the problems that they're challenges that they're having, there is a parking problem. So,
well, you could even extend that a little bit more with the number of empty storefronts we have now.
Yeah,
let's fill them up. Let's say fill half of them up. If each one has three or four cars and each one has two or three customers at a time,
yeah,
and five times in your multiplier, and now all of a sudden you're parking half a mile away.
Yeah. So, if you look at the number of empty storefronts in our down, especially in our downtown, is that an issue of parking or is that an issue of us changing our purchasing habits? I mean, how many people would get online to Amazon as opposed to drive down and try and find a place to park and then walk into one of those storefronts? So we've changed our habits, and COVID didn't do them any good either.
Right, yeah.
Right, that changed people's buying habits even more substantially. So, the storefronts are a whole different ball game. What are we going to do with those long term? And so forth. But, looking at parking. So as we analyzed it, now I'm looking at it as, Redwood Capital Bank located on 4th and G Streets.
Ground Zero, I believe, right. Is how it's referenced. Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we were looking at it and the lots that were proposed. And part of this is self-serving and part of it is community serving. Is we looked at it and said, okay, the worst lots to build on, to put families in, are the ones between 4th and 5th Street, because that's 101, very busy. And last thing, if you're living in one between those two, the only way to get out of there is to cross 4th or 5th Street, which is 101, and very busy. So for kids, et cetera, there's no green belts in there. It just didn't seem like to us that's a great place to raise a family. So both self-serving and community serving, we looked at, and we've been working with the city, and we wanted to buy a piece of property from Greg Pearson that was a better place to put them, even though it was more expensive, and then trade those for three parking lots. And so we entered that negotiation. Well, it turns out we can't buy Greg Pearson's property, so Greg has to make the trade, and then we turn around and we'll acquire it from Greg. So we're going to end up with three parking lots, and that's fifth, the old Daly's lot, which originally was with our building. So it's coming back.
Yeah.
The one on 5th and H, which is across from the post office, and then the one next to City Hall. That's the one we really didn't want, but anyway, long story short, that's what we ended up
with. It's a long walk for your customers.
Right. So if all this happens, we'll actually acquire those three lots. They'll move from public parking lots to private parking lots, and then we'll either lease or sell some of them. That is a distinction.
Going to keep the meters up?
No, we are not keeping the meters. So there might be some surplus parking meters if you really want one. I do want to make sure everybody understands those become private lots and they'll be leased out to people, but it will still pull cars off of the street and make more street parking available to the rest of the world.
Well, and we'll see what happens. We start, what if the Penny's building is occupied?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I remember Mom bragging that we only had to walk 2.5 blocks when we were small to get to Penny's. I mean, Yeah, things have changed a tad.
Yep.
All right, bud. Nice to see you again.
Good to be here.
So maybe we'll see you next month.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be nice. A trend.
Yeah.
Right here, right now. See everybody tomorrow.